This is the Biz News Podcast, one-on-one conversations with experts in business and personal development.
Farming can be pretty noisy when you think about it. The bleating of sheep, mooing of cows, oinking of pigs, and so on. Even an apple orchard can be loud, what with all those birds singing in all those trees. But Kathy Nesbitt is a quiet farmer, perhaps the quietest of all, despite having 1,000 head of livestock at any given time. Ms. Nesbitt raises worms for fun and profit, she says. And Kathy Nesbitt joins us on this edition of Biz News Interviews to tell us more. This is a first for Biz News Interviews, because in all the 20-odd years we've been doing these, we have never talked to anybody who's made a living like you do. Would you please tell our viewers and listeners what it is that you do?
Yes, I will. I'm a worm advocate. I have worms, and you can too. So it's the 21st anniversary of Kathy's Crawley Composters, selling worms by the pound for indoor composting.
Indoor composting? Don't we have a toilet for that down the hall?
Yes, and you don't want to flush all your kitchen scraps and all your paper bits and, right, just the toilet paper, but...
What do you talk, when you talk about indoor composting, it kind of projects a strange odoriferous image.
It does, doesn't it? If it wasn't aerobic, this is aerobic process, meaning with oxygen. So it should never smell like rotting food or have a bad smell, because that bad smell is gas. That's methane that we're smelling. So we're it's oxygen. So let me talk about how I got into this beautiful business, selling worms. So I'm located in Canada, just north of Toronto, 6 million people in the greater Toronto area. And in 2002, our landfill closed. And although Canada's second largest country in the world, we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. So I'm sorry, but we started to export our garbage to the United States.
Well, there's something we never expected.
You're welcome. And here's, I mean, it's not funny. It's really shocking, in fact. 1,000 trucks a week were making the trip from Toronto area to Michigan.
Although yes. That explains a lot about Michigan, I guess. But why on earth couldn't you find a place to put your refuse in Ontario? It's a gigantic, geographically gigantic province.
It is, yes. Have you ever heard the term NIMBY?
Oh yes, not in my backyard.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. That's why we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. NIMBY, NIMBYism. Nobody wanted it in the backyard. That's kind of the short answer. I think a longer answer is that the governments weren't ill prepared. You know, the landfill was closing up every day. We were putting our garbage in there. And it was, so they're like, oh, no, we're good again for another day. There was room. And then all of a sudden it filled up. And I think they were like, oh, my gosh, we didn't think it would ever fill. And now it's, what do we do? And, you know, and on the other side, on the Michigan side, I mean, I don't know if this is how it went. This is the story I've made up. Michigan used to be the automotive capital, right? Ford, GM, Chrysler, all there. And I don't know when it happened, but at one point, everybody started making cars. We make cars in Ontario now. So Ford, GM, Chrysler all pulled out of Michigan and went elsewhere. And Michigan, I mean, I'm not saying anything new. I mean, it was in big trouble. So I think that Michigan was like, what are we going to do? We need an industry. Everyone makes cars now. And so they became the trash capital. So they import trash from around the states. Just the Canadian garbage is what caused the most trouble. Even though it was clean and, you know, sorted and everything. And we paid a lot of money for the privilege to export our garbage. A lot of money. Like our tax dollars hard at work. Oh, look at, they're just, oh, what? So we paid a lot of money to export garbage.
And so how did that get you into the worm business?
I knew I had a solution. 2002, oh, so many things came to be like to for me to start my business in 2002. Oh my gosh, well, In 93, going back a little bit further, I moved out of Toronto into Bradford, bought a house, couldn't wait to start composting and gardening. And I was getting my psych degree. In 2000, I graduated, got a job at a group home working with challenged adults. And I couldn't wait. And you know, they had 10 homes and a farm and they didn't compost. When I spoke to them about composting, the greenhouse manager said, what about vermicomposting? What about worms? And so I was like, So I just started to do research and discovered the magic of these worms. They're red wiggler worms. So there are certain species that you can use for composting. And they eat half their weight per day in food scraps. They turn garbage into gold. So their poop is nutrient-rich fertilizer. And they live up to 10 years, have 5 hearts each. And I actually had a shift. My fear of worms turned into love. And I thought, oh my gosh, everybody needs to have worms. And I'm just the one to put worms in every house. And I ended up starting my business because we had this big problem and I had a solution.
It must have been rather difficult to convince a customer base to go worming, I suppose, or whatever you would call it.
So challenging. Yes. Oh my gosh. You know, not only is it challenge, like the word worm has a bad connotation. Can of worms, you know, computer worms, viruses, like tapeworm. Worm is a bad word. And words have energy. I would have a display and people would come up and see that I had worms, and then they would share all their horror stories about worms. And I don't even have repeat customers because worms reproduce more than rabbits. They're not cute and cuddly, depending who you ask, I guess. And, you know, so I had a bunch of things going against me. People may have been afraid of worms and they didn't want to have worms in their house. And then I don't have repeat customers. So I started to do school workshops. I took on doing workshops to educate the kids. And I thought, now I just need to wait 20 years till they have buying power. Yay, I made it.
That is indeed a long business plan.
You know, I think I really think that the universe put this in my path. This is why I was put on earth. I believe that. I set about to do this without any business savvy. I didn't have nobody in my family or my circle was entrepreneurs or self-employed. I just saw a solution to a big problem and set about. I didn't even think about it. Maybe if I had a thought about it, I certainly wouldn't have done it.
Well, the garbage of 6 million people is not exactly something that a backyard composting would handle, though, would it? You'd have to have gazillions of these things.
Yes, and my goal is for everyone to be managing their waste. So everyone have worms in their house, everyone managing their scraps on site. So then we can use that soil to grow more nutrient-rich food. Because in North America, we know we've really destroyed the soil. Corn, wheat, soy, acres and acres and acres of those three products, crops. And if we're monocropping, I'm not saying anything new. If we're monocropping, we need to add a lot of chemicals so that the plants can grow because it's not being provided by the beautiful soil. And when we add chemicals on to the plant, we're killing more life. So it's kind of a vicious cycle of now we've got our soil addicted to chemicals. And in order for it to grow, that's the route that we've chosen, kind of like our healthcare almost, but that's a separate topic. So what I'm proposing is, and what I realized shortly after starting my worm business, I thought I was starting as a waste management business. What the real benefit is that beautiful black gold the worms are creating, the end product of the worms. So the waste management may be the side benefit.
And so what does something like this look like in one's home?
So for the do-it-yourselfers, I would say like a Rubbermaid container or a plastic tote of sorts. Like if somebody was space challenged, like a small New York apartment or something, you might want to get a container that fits a space that you have. The worms don't need light, so you want to get an opaque container. It's aerobic, so you need to have holes in your bin. And the bedding is your shredded paper, a little bit of soil, eggshells, water. That's the bedding. You add your worms in, and then when you're feeding them, you feed them your food scraps. So your banana peels, coffee, tea, cooked pasta and rice, moldy bread, all of your kind of vegetable, fruit and vegetables. And the more you chop it, the faster it breaks down, the more the worms can eat. The worms are eating the paper and the food. They require both. And then, as I said, their poop is the fertilizer. At a certain point, it's about 3 to 5 months, the worms will have consumed all the material. You do a harvest to separate your worms and your compost. You dump everything on a plastic sheet, put it in small round piles. The worms are photosensitive or afraid of the light. They go down into the piles. You scoop off the top. It maybe takes an hour to separate your worms from your compost. Then you set up your new bedding, add the worms back in, and use the black gold for your garden.
How much would the typical family produce?
Great question. So while I was researching, I learned that the average Canadian, I'll say Canadian slash American or North American, produces about a ton of organic waste in a year. And a pound of red wigglers can transform a ton of organic waste in a year. So I thought, oh my gosh, every family needs a pound of worms. And that's just a guide. That, you know, depends on a lot of lifestyle factors, right? Are you vegetarian or vegan? You produce more than meat and potatoes eaters. Do you eat at home or do you eat out mostly, right? Even if you're vegetarian and you're eating at restaurants, you're not producing scraps. So there's a lot of factors.
Let me run back and check one thing. Did I hear you correctly to say a pound of worms is what the typical household needs?
Yes. Yeah, start with a pound of worms and then the worms are going to increase in number. So you would never be, so here's the rate. So they'll double in number in 3 to 5 months. You would never be overrun with worms. They will reproduce based on available space and available food. So you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, we have so many worms. What are we going to do? They're taking over the house. No, they'll work it out for themselves. But at a certain point, you may have so many worms. You're like, oh, let's set up another bin. So you can set up another container, take some of those worms, add them in there. They're going to reproduce here. They're going to replenish over there. And you're going to have, then you can just feed more. Then you're creating more soil.
What can you do? Tell our listeners and viewers about worms that we probably don't know.
Worms, they have 5 hearts each. 5 hearts. And I do a lot of school workshops and the kids will say, why do worms have 5 hearts each? So I made up a story. I say millions of years ago when they were giving out body parts, they had this whole pile of hearts. And they're like, what are we going to do with all those hearts? And they said, millions of years from now, the worms are going to be needed, but people are going to be afraid of them. Let's give all those hearts to the worms. And you know, just like the word worm seems to have a negative connotation, heart and love has an opposite kind of reverberation. And when I tell people that, like when they're like, ooh, worms, when I say, did you know they have 5 hearts each? People soften, like they physically, I can see that they've like let their guard down.
They're certainly quiet, I suspect.
Yes, they don't talk. All you can hear, sometimes you can hear them like sloshing around.
And how long would it take your pile of worms to eat through a day's worth of typical garbage?
Again, there are a lot of factors, temperature, moisture, airflow. So it's room temperature. If you're comfortable, they are. Moisture, about 75% humidity. So fairly moist, but not pools of water. Airflow, you need holes in your bin. They eat about half their weight per day. So the more you chop up the scraps, the more exposed surface, the faster it's breaking down, the more the worms can eat. They're not in there alone. There are all kinds of microorganisms and critters. This is the part that freaks people out. But we are all bugs. We are more bacteria and bugs than we are actually other stuff. I know people don't like to hear that either. So all of these organisms have a beautiful ecosystem in the bin. Like it's a whole system in there. The worms can't live alone, and neither can the bugs. So the bugs are breaking down the food for the worms. The worms are eating their poop, cleaning. The worms are like the top predator in the worm bin, and they're the cleanup crew. So they're cleaning up all the debris of all the other organisms and then creating this beautiful black gold. It's like plant food.
Now, you don't have to walk them, but do you have to water them?
Okay, good question. You generally don't need to add more water. If you're using a plastic tote, there's not a lot of evaporation. If you were using a wooden bin, there's going to be more more evaporation and more absorption of the water into the wood. So you would need to make sure that you keep it moist. And when you're watering, I would use a plant mister where it's just spraying the water on rather than pouring it on. Especially in a Rubbermaid or a single bin tote, the water would pool in the bottom, and then that would be harmful to the worms.
What is the downside to this that people have told you?
Fear of worms, right? So I do have a psychology degree, and I'm meeting all kinds of people as adults who may have been traumatized in the schoolyard as children after a rainy day or a sibling chased them around or a fishing accident, right? Like with the worm, like where the green goo's coming out and then they get traumatized. So if you're traumatized about something as a child, you're not looking to that as an adult as a solution.
So over these past 21 years of being the worm's biggest advocate, where does your business stand now?
Well, now although I'm still doing school workshops, I'm still talking about worms. I'm kind of the talking head now for the worms. I've transitioned now into laughter. Because in 2020 we had this thing and the world shut down, and we have a global mental health tsunami right now. I've been laughing since 2012 doing laughter yoga. I'm a laughter yoga teacher. So laughter came to me. I find the universe is so fascinating. In 2012, one more person said to me, "Ew, worms in the house." And I heard it. I mean, it had been said to me many times the previous 10 years. I heard it in 2012. And I got all in my head. I questioned everything. Why do I care so much? What's happening here? Why doesn't anyone else care? Why isn't anyone buying my worms? And I was about to doff my important mission. And I think the universe was like, we better throw our lifeline. She's going to bail. And I was introduced to laughter yoga the next day. Laughter yoga saved I wouldn't say saved my life. It sounds pretty dramatic. It saved my worm business. Because I was about to just get a job. Who would hire me?
That would be an interesting resume for any hiring manager to look at.
And I don't know that I would be able to be told what to do again. Like, don't tell me what to do. I don't want to be told. You know, when you've been in charge for so long. Okay. I was like, this has to work. Anyway, I was introduced to laughter yoga. It's not doing yoga and laughing. Laughter yoga was started in 1995 by a medical doctor, Dr. Madan Kateria. And his goal is world peace. Can you imagine? What a beautiful goal. It's lovely. And I just was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. So I did more research. I found a club 5 minutes walking distance from my mother-in-law in Toronto. Like, Toronto's a massive city. Her club was 5 minutes from where my mother-in-law lived. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I phoned her. I love my mother-in-law. I said, hey, Mary, do you want to go ahead?
Give our listeners and viewers a thumbnail sketch of what is laughter yoga. Is this a room filled with would-be stand-up comedians?
Oh, great question. No, laughter yoga is not about jokes or comedy. It's intentional laughter exercises. Laughing as an exercise, just laughing, like no jokes, no comedy, just laughing. So as the leader, I know that's odd, right? So it's like, okay, people aren't going to want to just laugh because that's not how our society works. We need a stimulus. So the stimulus is brought to you by the leader. And now it's online. I mean, there are laughter clubs in person and they are so much fun. Online, it works beautifully in the Zoom room because we have gallery view. So we're all looking at each other and we end up using our camera, like for doing Greeting. So we're going to do Namaste laughter. So it started in India. So Namaste is the light in me, sees the light in you. We are one. And we just look at each other. Ha ha ha. We're laughing. Ha ha ha. It's not talking. Only the leader is talking. Everyone's just laughing. It's deep diaphragmatic breathing. So when we're breathing deep, we're moving our lymph, we're getting oxygenated, and we're laughing. When we're laughing, ha ha ha, we have to inhale at a certain point if we're going to continue ha haing. Because that's exhaling. There are so many beautiful benefits for laughing. Laughter is the best medicine. Ever heard that?
Vaguely, I remember that from somewhere back in the days of yore.
Right? My next question is, have you had your daily dose? Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, the love drugs, versus cortisol and adrenaline when we're stressed. When we're stressed, we're not breathing properly. So our body's not getting what it needs. For sure, our brain isn't. We don't need our answering machine when we're in stress because we just need to get out of stress. So laughter really helps us to be present. Just laugh. Forget about all the things that are going on in the world because we're not even thinking. When we're laughing full on, we're just laughing. That's what we're doing. And we're in parasympathetic then. Secreting the love drugs, getting fully oxygenated, and we have a heart to pump our blood. We have another fluid called lymphatic fluid, and lymph only moves when we move. It doesn't have a pump. And if our lymph isn't moving, that's when we get swollen ankles or we get swollen limbs, swollen hands, because our lymph is pooling. It's not flowing around. It's our detox system. It takes the toxins out of our body and gets rid of them through sweat and through like breathing and crying, and all of these things are ways to detox.
Kathy, let me pause here to ask you to tell our audience, where can they get more information about you? A website. I know you have one.
Yes, I do. The Worms, they can find me at kathyscomposters.com. And laughter is kathysclub.com. And I do have a free online laughter club every Tuesday. I would love for people to come and experience the magic of laughing for the health of it. It's 30 minutes, super fun self-care. As a laughter yoga teacher, I incorporate tapping, brain gym, and other healing modalities. So that's kathysclub.com, and they can just register, and it's free.
And they could bring all the worm jokes with them. Kathy, what would you like to add that we haven't had a chance to worm out of you?
Yes, get worms to manage your scraps, because when we garden, we need good soil. If we're creating the soil through worms, we've got nature's finest soil. Then we can grow more nutrient-rich food. When we're growing our own food, we don't waste it because we worked hard for that, right? It took a long time to grow that tomato or whatever it is that we're growing. So we eat it tastes so much better, and there's less waste. And that's what I really want. On the laughter side, I would say laughter, like joy, is our birthright. I really believe that, Doug. I really believe that we are meant to have a beautiful, joy-filled life. We're the ones we get in the way by comparing, looking at someone else, thinking we want what they have and we don't, but we want what they have because they look like they're having so much fun. I really want people, I think this cuckoo time allowed us time for a pause to go in and figure out what we really wanted if we took the time.
You've been watching the Biz News Podcast. We welcome your input. Send your email to editor@biznews.com. Thanks for watching.